Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Tonight's show is going to be one that is near and dear to many.
We know that the holiday season is upon us, and we know what that brings for some people. Most people, the holiday season is a time of fellowship with the family, a time of, this season is a time of food and fun and gift giving and everything, but many of us know that the reason for this season, and we know that though December the 25th is not the birthday of Christ, but it has been used symbolically as the birth of Christ, and so we know that Jesus, for us, Jesus is the reason for the season. I just described two different situations, but there's another situation. The other situation is this. Do you know that this time of the year, that many people are in deep depression? The statistics say that suicide is at its highest rate during the Christmas season. And I thought, well, why is that? Because I know I get a little, not suicidal, but I get a little bummed sometimes during the Christmas season. I do recognize that the bigger picture is Jesus is the reason for the season. But if you're not careful, what I find is that the commercialization of Christmas brings about for me anxiety. I feel like I get overwhelmed at all the things that you feel like you're required or obligated to do for this season. So what I'm going to do and what we're going to be doing tonight is I'm going to open up tonight to just give you some statistical facts that whatever that thing is that you're feeling this time of the year is real. And it's so real, and so many people experience it, so you're not alone. So many people experience it that science, that doctors and professors and psychologists have literally done study after study on it, and they have also given it a name. And the name is SAD, S-A-D, Seasonal Affective Disorder. Now, I'm just going to give you some statistics, and then I'm going to step back, and Minister LaDonna is going to give you some hope and some things that's going to pull us out of this SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder. Mr. LaDonna, do you have anything to say before I go into this SAD?
You know what? I'm so happy that we're doing this show, because a lot of times during the different holiday seasons, most of the time, most people will go out and minister to people on the streets, people that they don't know, and we don't even realize that people that we do know may be suffering from these symptoms. And it doesn't necessarily have to be there in the holiday time. The holiday times can bring it out more, but we do need to make sure that we are more aware of what's going on with the people that are around us, even the people that are closest to us. We think that, oh, you know, they're not dealing with this. They're not upset. They're not depressed. They're not sad. But if you think about people who've lost a loved one throughout this year, who that loved one isn't here during this holiday season, they can easily slip into depression. It can be through death. It can be through separation that they've lost that person. But we need to make sure that we're reaching out to people. I'm glad that you brought out the example, or, you know, the truth that season is about really two things. And the first and foremost is the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love that he gave to us. And we want to make sure that we're loving all year long, but this time of year is a huge reminder to get back into that loving feeling. So, you know, I just want to remind all of our listeners that when we're doing this show, the first thing I want us to have in our hearts and in our mind is that we are supposed to be operating in love throughout the year. We can get to a place where someone wronged us or we're offended by someone and we feel like they need to make it up to us or they should have known better, and we start operating in offense, we start operating in retaliation, and those things carry with us throughout the year. And this is the time that we really should be reminded to let those things go and to start all over and remember that the first, he loved us first in order to sacrifice himself for us. And let's be reminded that this is a time of great sacrifice, not a time of going around, like Coach C said, purchasing gifts and going broke behind what society says we should be doing for our family. We really should be teaching those and reaching those around us and teaching them about what this season is really about, which is love.
Amen, amen. So without further ado, I'm going to get us started just to give some facts. And let's figure out if this thing is real and why. And so basically what they're saying is that around that the Christmas season for Christians should be the happiest time of the year. And that's true. Why should it be the happiest time of the year? The happiest time of the year because it's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this should be a big celebration for us as believers because it represents, it's symbolic for the birth of our Savior. And we need to be joyful and grateful with family and friends and colleagues and celebrating and all those good things. However, according to the National Institute of Health, Christmas is a time of year that people experience a high incidence of depression. Christmas is that time of the year where we are, that the statistics say it's a high level of depression. Hospitals, police forces report high incidence of suicide. The suicide rate goes out the ceiling. Attempted suicide rates go out the ceiling. Psychiatrists, psychologists, and any mental health professions report a significant increase in patients. They're getting called. Their phones are going off on a daily, regular basis of complaints about depression. One North America survey, because we're in North America survey, reported that 45% of respondents dreaded the festive season. They hate to see Christmas coming. And so, you know, we hear this thing about the Grinch, and we see it on the cartoons, and it's funny. We grew up, most of us grew up as little kids knowing about the Grinch. This was or Scrooge. These were the people that hated Christmas and wanted to destroy anything representing Christmas. But it's funny that that is a representation that we grew up on as kids, only to find out that there's literally people that go into this mold, this Grinch, this Scrooge mold during this season. And it's because it's stated that it's because of the dark winter weather that increases the incidence of SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And it says that there's many other reasons. There's definitely many other reasons. But it appears that the more unrealistic expectations and excessive self-reflection for many people. This is this time of the year that we have unrealistic expectations and a lot of self-reflection. It's something about this season, and I'm not saying for everybody, but for people who are suffering from SAD, it's a time where we isolate. And I'm saying the term we because I'm talking in general, but I'm using we because I don't want to say them because I don't know who the them is, but I can say we because I'm sure some of us either experience it every year, or some of us may have experienced it and learned how to overcome it. I have to be honest, I never got suicidal or anything like that, but this time of the year is not my favorite time of the year. And you're going to find out why it's not many people's favorite time of the year. But the first thing we want you to know that there is something that's triggered in the body with the winter months, because it does become cold. In the natural animals, for example, they hibernate during the winter months if they shut down. And I believe in the spiritual, for us mentally, even as humans, we have a tendency to hibernate. That's where you normally hear people talk about they gain their most weight. They kind of isolate themselves during this winter month. They shut down. They shut in. So that is a true thing. They've taken statistics in different cities. Seattle, Washington, where it's always gloomy. It's always dreary in Seattle, Washington. It's always dreary, and there's a lot of rain. They find that a lot of people are depressed. High rate of suicide in that area because of that dreariness. So it does go to show that the weather can affect our emotions, our mental state. For some people that get depressed at Christmas and even angry because of the excessive commercialization, what's that? Everything you turn onto the TV is about present buying, gift buying, toy buying. So now it gives, it's marketing. It's called marketing. It's meant to grab you in. It's meant to provoke the pressure in you that you have to go buy, that you have to get, that you need. And so for some people, that becomes another depression because they have to now see this all the time. Now they feel obligated that they have to go Christmas shopping. They feel obligated that they need to be going to or they're supposed to go to social events. So if you're seeing this constantly on media, whether it be TV, radio, social media, guess what? If you're seeing people at Christmas parties and they're posting pictures and all this festive thing, but you haven't been invited to one, would that not make somebody feel kind of depressed, isolated, and alone? Well, this is what some people are dealing with. They're dealing with, so that triggers the, now I'm a victim. So now that victim mentality comes about. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's thinking about me. I ain't going to buy nobody a present because they ain't going to buy me no present. You're going through all this, and it's self-reflection, and you begin to engage in just excessive self-reflection and inadequacies of life. I don't have enough money. I can't afford that, especially for parents. A lot of parents go through this because they have kids, and their kids have been brainwashed or been pulled in to the bye, bye, bye. This is during the season that I don't care what time of the day you could be looking at TV, and it could be 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they're still showing commercials about toys. You know, oh, get this toy. Oh, this toy I'm sorry?
It could be 1 a.m. in the morning, and they're showing commercials about toys, about gifts. You know, it's nonstop during this season.
It's nonstop. It's meant to just take control. And now, as a parent, you're under pressure because you got your kids that, ooh, mommy, I want this. Ooh, daddy, can I have this? Ooh, mommy, I want this. And then they've been convinced that they've been good all year. They deserve it, and they got it coming. So now, not only are you financially stuck because you're just trying to provide them with basic necessities, roof over their head, shelter, clothing, and food, now you're feeling obligated because society has built this socialist marketing strategy that is to taking your kids, taking your spouses, taking your family, because now everybody wants something. So we see that commercialization is part of the problem in this, and our inadequacies, our own self-reflection, that these things that's triggered within us. And then you have on the other end where people are excited about Christmas, they accept it, they pull into it, whether it's through pressure or just because pleasure, I like to do this, or pressure. But then the next thing you know, there's people who've taken out loans on their home, second mortgages, to be able to go and spend the way they want to do. And oftentimes by January, the depression is even worse than it was in December because now they're looking at the debt that they set up for themselves for toys that don't work after 3 days, for gifts that people have taken and they liked it at that moment and they sit it aside and never look at it again, or they re-gift it to somebody else. And so they went through all of this. They tried to meet every expectation for social gatherings and acquaintances. And with that, you got to make sure your house is in order and you want your house to look a certain way. People even go through major renovation or home improvement just to make sure that their house looks nice because their house is the house that all their loved ones and friends are going to come to. And the last thing that triggers these emotions of depression is people who've lost family members during this time of the year. And, I mean, that's any time of the year, but during this time of the year it's the worst because that family member that you lost, whether it's during this time of the year that you lost them or lost them earlier in the year, this is the time where family comes together. So that one person or two or three people that's missing because they're no longer here, it triggers an emotion, the emotion of, oh, my gosh, this time of the year reminds me of. This time of the year we used to do this. This time of the year was this. And so it becomes another form of depression because now you're reflecting on this person that's no longer here who added to this particular holiday. So what should we do when this thing comes, when this depression about Christmas from so many elements, you know, the weather changed, the season is different, finances are not there, finances are there, but we go in debt, loved ones are no longer around. What do we do? How can we control this? How do we get past this anguish of depression and mental anger and illness during this time of the year? How do we get past the point of feeling like I have to go out and buy people gifts? How do we get past this? Minister LaDown, how can you help us tonight?
You know what? I'm so excited about this information that I'm going to be bringing, and I feel like I'm going to jump all over the place because there's so much that I'm going to bring that will be able to help us as a people, as believers, not get caught up into the secular meaning of this season and help us function better throughout the year. One thing I do want to say, you brought out such wonderful information about how we, you know, operate during this time, especially about going out, you know, taking out second mortgages and going out and going into debt. One thing I want to point out is that all year long, most people say that they don't have enough money to tithe and do offering. And a second thing, people say that they don't have enough money to save. They don't build their savings. But when Christmas time comes around, we will go broke and be broke, and then start banking on our tax return to then get us a little bit out of debt, and we work throughout the entire year coming from behind and then start it all over again once December gets here again, and then we're twice as behind as we were, and that's how we stay behind as a people. That's how we stay the lenders and not the borrowers. So I just wanted to point that out because, again, you brought out so much information. But now that we have all of that information out and we're here and we're saying, okay, I want to do something about it, you know, I am that person who gets depressed at this time of year, and it's not that I walk around trying to become depressed or that I'm intentional about being depressed, but somehow, some way, it just seems to happen. Or maybe throughout the year, I've been becoming more and more and more depressed, and I don't know how I got here. I just, one day I finally realized that I'm in this depressive state of mood, and guess what? I wasn't here when the beginning of the year started, and I don't know how to get away from this place. You know, the first thing we have to do, make sure that we're keeping love before us, that we're keeping love as our language. And the way that we do that is by turning to the Bible. Because during this time, you know, if you think about the Word of God says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so when you're operating in love and when people are around you, you surround yourself with people who operate in love or who are loving on you, what happens is they start covering and you start covering all those issues that you're going through, all of the issues as far as not having enough money or, you know, feeling guilty about certain things. Make sure that you're operating in love. And I'm going to say, you know, make sure you go to your word and read the Bible. The first thing is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Know what love is. Know what love is so that you know how to operate and that you know how to keep certain people around you, because a lot of the depression starts with not feeling loved. That's the first place where a lot of depression starts, rejection and not feeling loved. But the Word of God, and I'm going to move on from there, so the first thing is making sure that you are loving throughout the year and that you're surrounding people who love on you throughout the year, because that's what's going to help you make it through. Because we are fighting against our own thoughts in our own minds, whether we picked it up from TV, whether we picked it up, the thoughts up and that now form our reality from our culture, our parents, our surroundings, our environment, wherever we got those thoughts from, they are operating in our own mind. And so no matter what you do, when you wake up, you have your thoughts. When you go to bed, you have your own thoughts. And that's the first thing that you're dealing with. And you deal with that day in, day out, no matter where you go in this world, no matter how you try to hide, you're dealing with your own thoughts. And depression comes from negative, self-defeating thoughts. And how do you get out of a state of being depressed if your thoughts, your brain, are feeding you the same thoughts over and over and over and over and over and over again all day long? You can go and you can watch a good movie and feel like, oh, yeah, for an hour I felt good, but then as soon as you walk away from that movie, you're now thinking about the person you lost. You're now thinking about the love you lost. You're now thinking about you don't have enough money. So how do we get away from that place? The first thing, again, is first, operating in love. And the second thing is, and all of this is coming from the Word of God, the second thing is you want to cast down those imaginations and you want to bring every thought into captivity. That's what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm giving you all this information. This is a setup. This is background information for where I am taking you. So again, we talked about love, and now we're talking about casting down thoughts that exalt, that seek to make themselves higher than those good thoughts that you're having. The bad thoughts that seek to make themselves more prominent, to stand out, to have you focus and direct your attention on those bad thoughts. Have you ever been watching a movie? You're watching a romantic movie and everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about that last boyfriend you had and how it would have worked if you just would have did it this way, if you would have did it that way, or if he would have done this or he would have done that. And now all of a sudden your whole attention and mind is now focused on the past instead of staying focused on where you are now. Depression ties you to the past. It's holding on to the past in the right now, in the now of where you are in your life. So again, these thoughts try to exalt themselves against us. It takes us back to the past. It takes us back to negative things so that it can now be our focus. Those bad thoughts can be our focus. But guess what? These thoughts have a name. And you may not have even realized that they have a name. But these thoughts are called liyismi. Liyismi. Liyismi is an evil thought. We're saying that it's evil because anything that seeks to take you away from your purpose in life, anything that seeks to take you away from the Word of God, especially in Philippians, I think it's 4:8, that tells us to think on whatsoever things are pure, honest, just, lovely, and of good report. Anything that seeks to take you away from that is a sinful thought. And when I say sin, it's anything that tries to separate you from God. Anything that stands in between you and God is a sin. It can be an action, it can be a thought, but anything that stands between you and God is sinful, because we're supposed to be stay connected to God. So these thoughts are called liyismi. And these evil thoughts are, you know, it's intentional to keep you separated. It's intentional to keep you out of purpose. It's intentional to keep you tied to a life of lack, a life of poverty, a life of depression, a life of feeling insufficient, a life of no confidence. They are intentional because they're thoughts that are used by the enemy. And we know that the enemy, which is the devil, that the word of God tells us that we need to be sober, we need to be diligent, because our adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking all who he may devour. So we know that the devil, we know that the enemy is already seeking, actively looking for us. He's not laying back, resting, relaxing. He's actively looking for you. And so these thoughts that come into your brain and try and keep you separated from God, again, it's on purpose. It's intentional. These liyisi are called assaultive thoughts. They come in five different steps, and I'm going to give you the steps. And again, I'm jumping around all over the place because there's a lot of background information that I need to make sure that you have so that you can operate in using, making this information useful that I'm giving you. So liyisi, which are the assaultive thoughts, come in five different steps. They have five steps or five stages of development. That means it's growing. It doesn't just come to you and that's just it. They are developing so that they can live inside of you, that they can stay with you, that they can take rest inside of you. The first step is an assault. That's when a thought enters your mind, and it's just a form of suggestion. You know, the first thought that you have, it may be, oh, you know what, maybe I should go out here and take this loan. You know that you shouldn't take a loan. You already know that you're behind, and it would be easier to say, you know what, let me do something different for Christmas. Let me be more creative for Christmas. Let me not spend all of this money so that throughout the year we can get to where we need to be. But again, the first stage of liyisi is an assault. And I'm using the word assault intentionally. They use the word assault intentionally. Have you ever been into a fight or heard about a fight where somebody maybe just slapped somebody and that was the end of it? Or when they or heard a police report when they're talking about assault and battery? And assault is when somebody is viciously attacking you. And so these thoughts come and they're viciously attacking you. They're going to keep coming, 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 keep coming. And that's why the Word of God tells us to take every thought captive, every thought captive that comes to your mind, because you have to consistently work on changing your mind. And it's hard sometimes because, again, we're being assaulted by these thoughts. You know, if you don't get this present for so-and-so, or if you know you only spend $15 on this gift and they spend $50 on you, you're not going to hear it for the rest of the year. You're not going to hear the end of it. And so these thoughts keep on coming until now you start to interact with the thought. First, the thought just came to you and it was assaultive. That was the first stage. The second stage is interacting. Now you're having conversations with your thoughts. You start dialoguing with the thoughts. So you first said, okay, I'm only going to spend $15, and the thought keeps coming, no, you better not spend $15. You better spend $50. You say, well, maybe if I spend $50, that won't be a problem, because then I can, when I get my check next week, I can cover this or I can cover that, or, you know, maybe I can borrow some of the money and set it up this way. But again, we start to interact with these thoughts. So you see how the development of liyisi is coming along. First, we've been assaulted. The thought just kept coming, 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 coming. And that's how people get into, again, a state of depression, going coming. and it's our own brain, it's our own mind that we're working with. Then we start interacting with the thought. The next stage is consent. That means that that suggestion or that thought that came urges us to now, we now say, okay, we're going to consent to this thought that we have. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll get the gift that's $50. Knowing good and well, you shouldn't get the gift that's $50. For whatever it may be in your life, it may be that you're supposed to leave somebody completely alone, meaning you're not supposed to be talking to this person because maybe they when you're around them, you start doing drugs or you start drinking alcohol or you start doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. And you say, well, maybe I'll call him. That's the first thought, to call him. Then you're interacting. Well, if I call him, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go over there and actually start doing the drugs. I'm just calling and see how they're doing. And then you go ahead and give in to calling. That's the consent. And now you become, the fourth stage is captivity. Because once you consent to doing whatever it is that thought urges you to do, you now become captive to that thought. You become a hostage. You succumb to the urging of that thought, and it's now more difficult for you to resist. And once you become captive, you become passionate or obsessed behind this thought. And so those are the five stages of the yeasting. Those are the five stages of how thoughts come. And again, it may seem innocent. The thoughts that come into your brain, they may seem innocent at first. Well, I just miss my sister. Gosh, when she was here, we used to do this, we used to do that. We would have so much fun. You know, this is the first year that I won't have her. And you start entertaining these thoughts. You start interacting with these thoughts. You then move to the third stage, which is consent. You then move to the fourth stage, which is captivity. And then you then move to the fifth stage, which is passion or obsession. And that's how most people become depressed during this season, because you now are passionate or obsessed about these thoughts that are in your brain. So when you deal with a depressed person, they're moved by their depression. Their depression wakes them up in the morning. It puts them to bed in the evening. It dictates all of the actions they go through throughout their day. It dictates the words that are coming out of their mouth. And this is the spirit. And Liesme is part of being depressed, fault of thought. And again, we're going to go back to the Word of God, because we have to know how to battle this liesme, these thoughts that come to steal, kill, and destroy us. And they're really there to steal, kill, and destroy you. Remember, the first thing we said was you have to operate in love throughout the year, and you have to surround yourself with people who love you. Because when you surround yourself with people who love you, you surround yourself with people who are passionate about you. They are going to help fight for your life. They're going to help fight for you to live. And so, again, remember, the least me is fighting for you to die. Die to purpose, die to the Word of God, die to living, and only be alive to the captivity of those assaultive thoughts. So we surround ourselves with people who love us, Philippians 4:8, thinking about whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And when our thoughts don't line up with that, we have to start dismissing those thoughts that come into our brain. And it's hard. Because, again, you're dealing with yourself. You're dealing with your mind. Your mind creates your reality. That's why people are depressed. Your mind creates your reality. That's why when you deal with people who, you know, have been on drugs and they've had a breakdown, they've gone through those psychedelic reactions when they're going through coming off of drugs, and they say, you know, I have bugs all over me, and they're scratching and they're picking, and you're looking at them, or you've seen a movie like that, and there's no bugs on you. Their mind, because bugs are in their mind, they really have bugs on them. That's how the yeast me works. So again, we're casting down those thoughts. We're waking them through the Word of God. We are making sure that we take our thoughts captive. Once we take our thoughts captive, we have to accept responsibility for our thoughts. We have to know that we can control our way of thinking. We really can. God has given us the ability to control our way of thinking. And in order to control your way of thinking, you have to get new words inside of you. You have to get new words that create new pictures in your mind, in your brain. And the Word of God is awesome for that. Reading books, positive, encouraging books, is awesome for that. First and foremost is the Word of God. Going into worship is awesome for that, because then you get to see what God really thinks of you. You get to see how God has really created you. You get an opportunity to see yourself as the head and not the tail. You get an opportunity to see yourself being loved continuously, regardless of what anybody else says or what anybody else thinks. You get to see yourself in a position of having more than enough. Even though you look at your bank account and it might not look like what you want it to look like, you look around your house, your bills are paid, your rent is paid, you have food on your table, you have running water, you have a light to go switch on and switch off. And if you don't have these things, you need to start rearranging some of the things in your life, like not going out and spending all this money during Christmas time. But again, the first thing we have to do, we have to accept responsibility for our thoughts. We have to change our mind and our behavior, because a lot of our thoughts are triggered by our behavior. If anyone on this who's listening has ever been a smoker and you decided to quit smoking, there's things that trigger your smoking. Like maybe you used to smoke a lot when you drive long distances and dealt with heavy traffic. And so you haven't smoked in years, but all of a sudden you're driving a long distance and you're in heavy traffic and you get the urge to have a cigarette. Whether you act upon it or don't act upon it, there's behaviors that trigger our thoughts. And so we have to change our mind and we have to change our behavior. And then we have to now start making sure that we think through our problems and not just react to them. You know, when you're going through different life challenges, like when you are faced with standing at that register and you know you only have $200 in your account and you have $350 worth of stuff at the register, and when you ring it up, yes, it's going to go through, because your bank works like that, but now you're going to be $150 in the rear. Why don't you just think through and put some of the things back? Or why don't you say, this is the amount of money that I'm spending this year, regardless of who wants what. And if I can't get it for this, they don't get that this year. And when I can, or if I ever can get them the certain thing that they want, fine and great, but if I can't right now, this is what I'm able to do without breaking myself. So you start thinking to your problems rather than just react to them. Instead of sending that $350 worth of stuff through, and now your bank account is overdrawn, and now you're stressing out as you wrap in presents, and now you're upset and you're angry, and Now you're affecting your whole household. Now you hate your job because you don't make enough money, and you should be making enough money. You should have got a raise a long time ago, and now you're walking on your job, and you're acting crazy, and now you're getting laid off. Or now the raise that the boss was thinking about giving you, you definitely are not getting because you have a bad attitude. And again, you know, we're thinking through our problems rather than just reacting to them. And now we're taking our those thoughts that disable us, we're taking it captive through making sure that we deal with it. We're confessing it. You know what? Today I don't feel happy. Take it to God. Take it to your prayer partner. Don't sit with those thoughts by yourself and expect yourself to be able to work it through all on your own, because remember, when you're dealing with only the thoughts that's inside of you and nothing else, that's all you have to work with. So how can you make it better? You have to add to it. That's like cooking a cake and you only have the flour. And you keep mixing and mixing the flour, thinking the cake is going to come out different or it's going to taste better. No, you have to now add egg, but flour doesn't create egg. So you have to go out and get the egg to come back and break it open and add it to the flour. You have to go out and get the butter to come back and add it to the flour. So now that it can start creating something new and creating something different. And you have to choose to focus your thoughts on the right things. You have to choose. You have to choose. For those of you who, you know, again, you may have lost a loved one during this time. Choose to focus your thoughts on the right thing. Not the loss, but maybe the gain of having them in your life in the first place, the happiness. And the joy that they bring instead of them not being here. Because their spirit goes on with you throughout your lifetime. If you notice something about Jesus Christ, you notice something about God, you notice something about great women, men and women of history, their spirit is carried on long past the time that they're gone. Because people choose to focus on the right thing. And the last thing I'm going to add to that is that it's possible. We may think that it's impossible to change our mind, to change our thoughts. It's hard. Definitely hard. But it's not impossible. It's very possible. We have to continuously do it. We have to keep at it, keep at it. Until those thoughts start to change. I go through it myself at times. Just recently, you know, I'm starting and building my business, and there's times where I think, you know what, maybe I should just go back to work. Maybe I should just go back to corporate. And when those times come up, I have to do something different. I change my thought and my behavior. I open up my book and start reading about my profession. I start working on the structure of my business. Start doing anything that's contrary to that thought that's trying to defeat me. And so now I'm creating new habits. And when I create those new habits, it creates a new thought in my brain that I can now attach myself to. And it's not negative, it's positive. And so,
amen.
You know, again, we have to start changing our thoughts. Go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to say, a scripture just for folks, because 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5 tells us about the, you know, the vain imagination. you know, the things that go in our mind. And it tells us to cast down those vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I know for me, I have to say this to myself a few times a week, maybe some weeks more than others, some weeks several times a day. I'm confessing this word over my life, because we do, our minds, you know, they used to say something when we were younger, that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's not biblical, that saying just that self, but there is so much truth to that, and I could see how the idle mind could become the enemy's workshop. And so we have to begin to cast down those imagination, those things that pop up in our heads and in our thoughts. We could let our thoughts run wild with us. And I know people, you know, who's scared to be in their own home, that will sleep with the lights on all night. I'm talking about grown people, because of the thought life, their thought life. Their thought life is damaged. And it's not that you can't repair it, as you're speaking about the legisnes. You know, if you meditate and you entertain those thoughts, then those thoughts begin to take life and they grow. And so that was good word, definitely good word, and inspiring to know that there's hope, because most of us feel hopeless when we're going through this season, whether it's just this season or any season, any time of the year that you're dealing with depression and isolation and anger, these things still apply.
That's so true. And, you know, one thing that we learn in Vertical Leap, which is the conference, the life-changing conference that our mentors teach, is you learn about the repo process. And most people think that is such, you know, a simple process, and like, wow, you come to this seminar and, you know, you learn something as small as repo, but repo is not a small thing. It's the key to changing your life. And what the repo process is, it's whatever you do repetitiously will then become easy for you to do. Once that thing becomes easy for you to do, the thing that you're doing will become a pleasure. Once the thing you're doing becomes a pleasure, you will do that thing often. And once you do that thing often, it will become your new habit. So when we're changing our minds, we definitely, and changing our behavior, we definitely have to apply the repo process.
Oh, amen. Wow, I tell you, hopefully, and I know it's not a hopefully, I know that the information that went forth on today's call, if you know someone that was not tuning in on tonight's call, and you know that they deal with depression, and I don't even want to just say for the holiday season. Let's just say it increases during the holiday season, but they deal with depression, period. Send them this link for tonight's show. Let them listen to it. Let them, you know, you never know. Some people are sitting at the verge of no return, and all they need is one word. One word to change their life, to change their circumstances. And so tonight I believe that this word is that one word for many that's dealing with sad, you know, that's dealing with depression, that's dealing with these things. This is one word. This is giving them hope. This is letting them know, yes, I could take control of it. Yes, I could rechannel my thoughts, and letting them know that they can get through this, and really getting a grip on what is Christmas? What does it really mean to you? You know, we are defined oftentimes by our five senses, our culture and authority, our reasoning, our intellect. And sometimes, you know, we define ourselves and how we receive things by, because my mama did it. My mama's mama did it. My mama's mama, mama's daddy's mama, and everybody did it. And that's just the way we do it. And I was just talking today to a friend on the phone while I was rushing to get to the studio, and I was trying to get medication for my son who's the heal resistant sickness, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, so to say. And I was saying, well, you know, it's a family tradition. On Christmas Eve, everybody got to be at my dad's house, all my siblings and their kids and grandkids. And we've been doing this every year forever. And if anybody talks about doing anything different, my dad, that's an issue. And so one of the things I realized is that breaking traditions and rituals is hard. You know, it's hard because oftentimes, especially when it comes to tradition, oftentimes when you make a decision that you may not want to continue to follow that tradition because maybe you got a different revelation on it, maybe you just don't want to continue to go down that path, nor do you want your kids to, it's hard because it's always going to consist of offending somebody else. And normally it's going to consist of offending people who we are very close to, siblings, parents, relatives. So, but you got to do what's best for you. And if celebrating the Christmas season is not best for you, then you just have to make a decision, because you have to make a decision that's going to be best for you. You can't be pulled in by everybody else, because if nobody else is dealing with this overwhelming feeling of grief, then they wouldn't be able to understand why you're making the decision. But for those who love you, they'll have to respect the fact that you had to make the decision. And even if they don't, be willing to make the decision that's going to get you to where you need to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Amen?
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, one of the things I had to do, which really helped not only me, but my family during this year, when my girls were younger, we used to celebrate Christmas all the time by going out, buying lots of gifts, wrapping lots of gifts, sticking them up under the tree. And one year we stopped doing that. We started, and the girls were still young, and so they didn't understand at first, but we started taking our money and going and buying stuff to feed the homeless during Thanksgiving and to clothe the homeless during Christmas. And
mm-hmm.
did that for a few years, and now when it comes to Christmas time, they are so creative. The biggest things that are most important to them is spending time with family, creating lasting memories. So this year we're having an ugly Christmas sweater party, and, you know, they went, instead of going out and buying Christmas sweaters, they went out and bought all this stuff to make Christmas sweaters. And, you know, at first I was thinking, why are they spending all this money on buying all this stuff to make the sweater when they could have just bought a sweater for cheaper? But when everybody sat around the table and started creating their sweater, and there was laughter and giggles and conversation going on, it was such a blessing that, you know, stepping back from tradition, creating new traditions, but really getting to the key of what this season is about and what life is really about too, which is not going in
mm-hmm.
debt, but, you know, enjoying your loved ones.
Exactly. Amen. And it's different for many people because, you know, if you're not a Christian, then Christmas doesn't mean Christ to you. You know, everybody don't celebrate Christmas. You know, some people celebrate Hanukkah. Some people celebrate Kwanzaa. You know, whatever, you know, everybody have a different, you know, thing that they do. So whatever this season is for you, then you do, you know, what it is for you, the true meaning of it. And one, it's funny that you said that, Minister LaDon, and I know we get towards the end of the show, but you're on target because you said that you all would go buy all these presents, and then you guys got to a point where you stopped doing that, and I remember someone was telling me, and you know the someone, your sister, but I remember her sons were very, matter of fact, her youngest son wasn't even born, so she only had the one son at the time, and I remember her sharing with me, and my youngest was a baby, and she said, you know what, we don't celebrate Christmas like that. We go and feed the homeless. And she said, and then I buy my son a present. but I never associate the present we get with Christmas. I buy him a present because I want him to know because he was willing to bless others, he is now being blessed. And so she said, that's why when I gave the present, it was a sense of, oh, my gosh, I blessed somebody, so I'm getting blessed back. And I thought that was one of the most unique things I heard. I was admired by that, and I said, wow, I would like to teach my younger son that, you know, and still, you know, never following, truly following through. But saying all that to say is that when I was doing the statistical reports for tonight's show, and it had a thing of, so what should you do? And one of the things it mentioned, even though you get some really great things, one of the things it mentioned was, it says take part in maybe church activities that focus on a bigger meaning. But one of the things it really mentioned was, and during this time, become involved in giving in non-monetary ways through charities, worthwhile causes that help less fortunate people. They said one of the biggest way to get past depression in this type of season as it pertains to the Christmas holiday is take presents and money out of it and begin to give of yourself. Because if you're giving of yourself to help those less fortunate, you're taking the focus off of the things that's keeping you in that depression, and you're taking your energy and you're channeling into something more positive. And I know because I actually went out, feed the homeless, and been collecting blankets and socks for the homeless. And I tell you, it's the most rewarding thing, and it takes away from anything that you could even imagine when you see people less fortunate than you. How can I sit and be depressed and be angry or be sad about this season when I think about my blessings, when I think about God waking me up in the morning and that I have a place to live and clothing and shelter and food? And when you start thinking, it's almost a slap in the face. Now, I'm talking to believers. It's almost a slap in the face for us to have what we have. I mean, just to have all the blessings we have. And blessings are not always monetary. But when you think about the blessings you have in your life, some of us get up and go to a job and we complain every morning we got to get up. But there's people that wish they had a job. And when you start thinking like that, and when you sit back and think about those, if you want to self-reflect about all that you do have. And when you start doing that, there's no way that it's not possible for you to stay in the same place because it brings a spirit of gratefulness. Unless you just, I mean, just really malicious, evil, you know. But it starts bringing about a spirit of gratefulness, and the only thing you can do is just be overjoyed by the gratefulness of what you do have, and it takes the focus off the season and puts the focus back on, I'm just grateful that I'm living, that I'm breathing, that I have my limbs, that I have my five senses, you know. And when you look at it like that, it really kind of begins to change the perspective of what we have and what we don't have.
Amen. You know, it's said that if you have, you're richer than 75% of the people in this world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and clean running water, 75% of people in this world. And yet we always want to, not always, but a lot of times we focus on what it is we think that we don't have. And so, again, start concentrating on and being thankful for the things that you do have, and blessing others with things that you can bless them with, especially our talents and our abilities. You may be able to cut hair, and you can go out and you can cut people's hair who are less fortunate or can't afford haircuts. You may have a closet full of clothes that you know you're not going to get back into, and yet you're holding on to them, that you can really give to other people that would be so useful to them. It would mean the world to them. You may have pots, pans, and dishes that you've been hoarding for years and years, and maybe your little sister just moved out. or, you know, maybe someone who's been on drugs and now has got their life together, has just moved into a small place and all they have is one pot and one fork and they're just excited as excited can be. But there's things that you can bless them with, you know, get rid of those old blankets or even those old towels in your house that are, you know, just stuff to you, but can mean the world to the next person. And, you know, God, for those of you who are believers, God will definitely show you what to do and how to bless others if you open up your spirit and your heart to do so. Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you all for tuning in on to this nice episode of Woman to Woman entitled Hopeless for the Holidays. And we just pray that a word went forth that has been able to comfort, that has been able to just transition you through this time and give you hope. That's what it's about, to give you hope. And, of course, if you are still experiencing any type of depression or anything during this time, we don't want to make it sound like it's a quick fix or a simple fix, because we don't really know what all you're entailed with as it pertains to your depression. What we want to say is that we're praying for you, and that there is hope, there is help. And if you are going through any type of this kind of thing during the year, and you feel like it's overwhelming, you feel like it's getting to a point where you can't control your thoughts, there is help. There is help. There is a help hotline that you could call. It's an 800 number that you could call, and we will get that number, and we will post that number so that if you're going through anything like this, that you could definitely be able to reach out and get help to help you get through this season. You know, it's a real thing, and we just want you to be okay. And that 800 number is 800-273-8255. Again, that number is 800-273-8255. That is a 800 toll-free number that you could use if you feel like you are going through this feeling and you cannot control it and you just don't feel like you could get a grip. That there is always that number. If you just need someone to talk to, you can inbox us. You have Minister LaDog Peters, you can inbox us. You have myself, Coach D. You can inbox us on the MCD Network page. You can inbox us on the Woman to Woman page. If you just feel like you need somebody to speak to, we would be more than glad. Inbox us. And if you want to talk there, we can talk there. If you prefer to get a call, inbox us your number. We would love to give you a call and pray with you and speak to you. You know, we don't. It's not that we desire that anyone is left alone during this season if they're going through this type of depression. And again, the suicide hotline or the hotline for depression, and you're going through and you just really feel like you can't take no more, again, that 800 number is, bear with me here. I just had the number, and then all of a sudden, okay, that 800 number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Again, we thank you for tuning in to this episode, and we pray that you will tune in next Tuesday at 7 p.m. as we continue to bring up topics that concern women by women. We love you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. And thank you for joining us again on Woman to Woman.
Woman to Woman. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we breathe.
songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
woman, songs of the life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Oh,